Amen. Thank you for the privilege of being back today. It's good to see you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans this morning, chapter 8. I want to ask you a question as we get going here this morning. Anybody in here today, you have any family secrets? Now, I'm not talking about dark and sinister ones. I'm talking about just light and happy family secrets. You know, when I was pastor down in Fort Lauderdale for 15 years at First Baptist, 78 to 93, we raised our daughters there. And when they were young and growing up, we were on television down there, and they knew that every time they saw their daddy on television, every time I reached up and took my left earlobe and just did like that, they knew I was sending them a message to say, hey, I love you and I'm proud to be your dad. And it was a little family secret we had. You know, there was a family in our church down there, very active, and our best friends down there. In fact, if I were to mention her name, most all of you women have some of her books. She's one of the most prolific Christian authors over the last two or three decades. And they were very active in our church and some of our very best friends. We usually had dinner with them every Friday night, the two couples of us. And she was going to have some surgery, but they were being very secretive about it. And nobody really knew what she was having or why she was having it. And of course, inquisitive minds want to know, you know, because you don't want to know how to pray for people when things are going on. But anyway, make a long story short, it came up the week before this scheduled surgery. Nobody knew what it was, but everybody loved him and was praying for him. And not everybody knew she was even going to have surgery. But their little first grade son, who had just learned to print, printed a card and put it on the prayer bulletin board at the Christian school where all of our kids went. And it said, "Please pray for my mommy. She's having her fat sucked out today." So their family secret got out for the whole world to know in the form of a prayer request. We all have our family secrets. Did you know that in the family of God, we have a secret? There's something that we know as members of God's family that lost world that's driving by in those cars outside this building today don't have any clue about. But we do. It's a family secret, and it's only for those of us in the family of God. And our family secret's found in one of the most familiar verses in all the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look what it says. For we know, it's a family secret. The lost world doesn't know it. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. We have a family secret. And for those of us who are going through some trying times right now, for those of us who are in difficulties right now or have been in the past, it's good to be reminded that in God's family, there's something that we know that can help us and sustain us and perform us and perfect us and mold us into the image of Christ. There's something we know that's working together for our good if we can understand it and put a handle on it that the lost world doesn't know. There are four things in Romans 8:28 about this family secret that I want us to look at today. Here's the first one. It is confidential. Write that down. It's confidential. You know, it says, for we know. I when I was pastor of a biblically literate church about 30 miles east of here. I won't mention the name of it because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody over there, but I had our staff one time before church just filter out into the halls, and when Sunday school was letting out and everything, and I said, I want you to ask 100 people to quote Romans 8:28. And you know that 90% of the people that were asked to quote Romans 8:28 left off this first phrase. Like many of us, if I'd asked this morning, would have just said, what's Romans 8:28 say? 90% of you would have said, it says, all things work together for the good to the love of the Lord and called to His purpose. And we leave off that first phrase. But you'll never understand Romans 8:28. Unless you understand the first phrase, unless you see that it's confidential. It says, for we know. See, the lost world doesn't know this. This is a family secret in the family of God. It is not intended to be known by the world, nor understood by the world. Confront the existentialist today who says there's no real purpose in anything that's going on. And we say, oh, yes, there is. But it's a family secret. We know that all things are working together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The lost world knows nothing about this family secret. There's no hope here in Romans 8:28 for anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ, because it's confidential. It's for the family of God, for we know. Now, if you don't believe that it's not for everybody, then this Friday night, about 11:30 to 12, go over to Peter Smith Hospital, the emergency room. Sit down in the emergency room where people are coming in there with gunshots and stabbings and all sorts of horrible things that are happening to them. And look in that waiting room, and people are out there wringing their hands because loved ones are in there, and they're at the point of hanging by a thread. Just go in there in that waiting room and sit down beside one of those people and say, oh, listen, I just wanted to come by and let you know all things are working together for good. Well, you'll be in the emergency room yourself in about 3 or 4 minutes after that, because it smacks in the face of a world that don't understand this. Why? Because it is confidential. We know. No, it doesn't say we hope that all things are working together for good. And Paul didn't say we wish that all things could work together for good. He didn't even say we think that all things are working together for good. He said we know. We know that things are working together for good. And anytime you read that word K-N-O-W in your New Testament, there could be two different Greek words behind it. You never really know in the English translation. One word for know means to know experientially. You know because you've experienced it. That's the word gnosko. Another one, oida, means that you know just because it's common knowledge. You know there are 12 inches in a foot. But for example, as I like to illustrate it, how many of you here today know that castor oil tastes bad? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, whoever said, oh, yeah, they would have used gnosko. They would know by experience. Now, I've never tasted it. But if you've tasted it and you know it's bad, then you know experientially. You'd say, I know. Now, I've never tasted it. I can't get past Pepto-Bismol, much less even think about castor oil. So I would use oida. I would say, I don't have to know to experience it. I just know it. And that's the word Paul used here. You don't even have to experience this. This is just a known fact in the family of God. It's a family secret. It's confidential. And we know that all things are working together for good. It's confidential. It's a family secret, for we know. But the second thing I want us to look and see about it is this. Not only is it confidential for the believer, but it is constructive. Look what he says next. It's constructive. Things work together for good. It's constructive. God is behind the scenes of our lives. And things that happen, unfair things and even bad things and difficult things and struggling things, things work together for good. It is constructive. This is comforting to look back over our lives. Sometimes in the midst of it, you can't see it, but to look back over our lives and see this. I told the 8 o'clock crowd, I came to know Christ when I was 17 over at Sagamore Hill Baptist Church. Could count on that hand how many times I'd ever been in church in my life. I didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were even books of the Bible. I knew nothing about the Word of God. And shortly after I'd been gloriously converted to Christ, and boy, I was on fire for God, I was a senior in high school, and I met a girl over at Sagamore Hill who was a sophomore. And she and I fell in love. We went together for 3 years, all through the rest of that year, and my freshman year in TCU and sophomore year at TCU, and then my junior year, she went down to Baylor as a freshman. And we would go back, after we would have dates for those 3 years, we'd go back and we'd sit on her porch over there on the east side of Fort Worth in Eastern Hills. We'd sit out on her porch, and before I kissed her goodnight, got to get those thoughts out of my mind, hadn't thought of them in a while, You know, I told the other crowd, your mind is like a hotel. You can't keep somebody from coming into the lobby, but you can keep them from getting in a room. It's not a sin for that thing to pass through your mind. The sin comes when you give it a room and harbor it there. So just forget what I said and let's move on, because we just kicked it out of the lobby. But what we would do, we'd sit out on our porch. She, for the first year of my Christian experience, would tell me Bible stories, just like you'd be telling a first grader. I knew nothing about those stories, about Moses, about Joshua and Jericho and all the David, Goliath. She would sit there and tell me Bible stories. I would devour them. And I was in love with that girl. And I was a junior at TCU at 3 years later, and she went down to Baylor. And she hadn't been down at Baylor about a month or two until she dropped me like a hot potato. And man, I think that's the first time in history anybody that ever went to Baylor dropped somebody from TCU. It's always the other way around. But it happened, believe it or not. I'm letting you in on a little of my family secrets here. But I want to tell you what happened to me. I don't think I went into depression, but I was so heartbroken. I was so devastated. I went through 6 months of just heartache, and it drove me to the Lord, and it drove me to the New Testament. And I would every night devour the New Testament, read it, and God used that time to break me and to strip me of my pride and to begin to mold me and fashion me in His will. And out of that experience, I began to hear His voice so clearly, calling me away from wanting to go to law school, calling me into the gospel ministry. And then that year after that, that summer after that, I met this girl from Austin by the name of Susie, who's the most fabulously beautiful inside and outside pastor's wife anybody could ever have. We've been married for 41 years. And I look back over my, what are you going to say about that? But I look back over my, you don't know all my family secrets. I look back over my life, and I look at that circumstance and that situation that at the time looked so difficult, and I see how God took things and worked them together for good. It is constructive, this family secret. He works things together for good, not by accident, but by design. He is behind the scenes forming and fashioning us and molding us and making us and molding us into His will. You know, one Greek word translates this phrase, works together for the good. Works together. It's the Greek word synergos. Synergos, synergos, synergos. We translate that into an English word, synergy. Synergy just means how things can come together and give extra strength. I could take a pencil here and easily break it open, but if I put two of them together, it's harder. You know, that's why the Bible says one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. There's a synergistic principle that comes together here, and that's what God is saying, that He takes all these things and works them together for good. For good. It doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. Sin, financial setbacks, sickness, so many things are not good. But God can take all of our mistakes and all of our heartaches and all of our messes and work them all together for good. It is constructive, this family secret. Remember the Babylonian captivity when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews in 586 BC were taken out by Nebuchadnezzar over into Babylonian captivity. God said to us through Jeremiah in chapter 24 of Jeremiah's prophecy, He said, "Those carried away into Babylon, I sent out for their own good." Things work together for good. What David say in Psalm 119, verse 71? He said, "It was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Romans 8:28 doesn't justify sin. Doesn't mean you can just go out and sin as a believer and know that everything's going to work out all right and work together for good. It is foreign to that. It doesn't justify sin. And don't find any comfort in that false thought. King David's sin, for example, could not be justified. There is nothing good about lust. Nothing good about adultery. Nothing good about murder. Nothing good about any of his sin. But when you read Psalm 51 and read how David, with a broken and contrite and repentant heart, came before God and poured out his heart, you can see how God can take even things that aren't good and work them together for good. So much so, when you think about it, that our Messiah came through the lineage of David. It's constructive. Things work together for good. This is a family secret. It's confidential, for we know. Lost world doesn't know it, but we do. It's constructive. Things work together for good. Here's the third thing I want to say about it. It is comprehensive. It's comprehensive. Look carefully what he says. For we know that all things work together for good. It's comprehensive. Can we believe that? Can you believe that? You know, it'd be a little more palatable had he said, and we know that some things work together for good. Or if he'd have said, and we know that many things work together for good. Even if he'd have said, and we know that most things work together for good. But look what the Bible says. For we know that all things, everything in our life, God can take and work together for good. It is not just confidential and constructive. It's comprehensive. All things include unfair things. Well, if I had time, I'd illustrate that with Joseph. Nothing that happened to Joseph was fair. Brothers, jealousy, and threw him in a pit and lied about him. His daddy thought he was dead. He sold to the enemies of God's people. He got down into Egypt, put on a slave block, sold like an animal, went and worked and faithfully served, then was falsely accused of rape, was thrown in prison. Everything that happened to Joseph was unfair from the human perspective. But what did he say? In Genesis 50, verse 20, when he was revealed to his people, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God took all those things and worked them together for good. Some of you are recipients of unfair things, like Joseph. This will set you free. This is a family secret. We know that all things work together for good. Evil things. That's what David said in Psalm 119:71. It was good that I was afflicted because I learned your statutes. Difficult things. You think we have difficulties today, economically or other situations? Think about that early church. I mean, they were under such incredible persecution that the Bible says in the book of Acts that they were all scattered from Jerusalem except the apostles. They all had to leave. They scattered. They had to leave their homes and leave their lives and leave their businesses. And they were just scattered over that Mediterranean world. Difficult things. But what happened as they were scattered? They took the gospel with them everywhere they went. And the gospel, had it been confined to Jerusalem, and had they, Jerusalem, in that first century world, been a world like ours where we just were comfortable in our churches, and the gospel would have never spread across the world like it did, because God took those people and dispersed them and scattered them in that diaspora all over the world. And everywhere they went, they took the message of the gospel, and the church spread like a fire and a flame all over in one generation, all over the Mediterranean world. Yes, all things work together for good. I like biscuits. I love biscuits, especially if they got gravy over them. But you know, I wouldn't just go over there to Cracker Barrel or wherever I get biscuits and gravy and sit down there. Waitress comes and say, I'd like a bowl of baking soda, please. She's bringing me a bowl of baking soda. Just eat it. Boy, that'd be horrible. Or, bring me a half a bowl of flour and just eat a bowl of flour. Or I'll take two raw eggs, please, in a glass. I wouldn't eat that. I hate those things by themselves, isolated, separate. But you put them all together, put in a few more ingredients, stir them up. I love biscuits. And that's the way it is with Romans 8:28. All things, not isolated, not set apart here. There's nothing good about some things that happen in our lives that are so hurtful, so damaging, and so painful. There's no good thing about losing your job and wondering how you're going to get to the end of the month. And those things isolated in our lives are painful. But when all things, not necessarily in and of themselves, but when everything that's happening is woven together in our lives in the tapestry of the cross, we can know that God is at work behind the scenes. And all things are working together. Maybe you can't see it right now any more than I could see it in those heartbreaking, devastating days of that young romance. But all things are working together for good. We can believe that. It's the truth. And sometimes we have to look in retrospect to see it. There's some of you here today who lost a job 15, 20 years ago. And yet you look back today and you see how God took those things and all those things and worked them together for good. It's confidential. It's a family secret. We know. The world doesn't know it. That world driving by down there doesn't have a clue. This is a foreign land. I might as well be in here speaking Greek to them if they were sitting in here today, because they can't comprehend this. It's confidential. It's constructive. Things are working together for good. It's comprehensive. All things are working together for good. And there's one final word I want to leave with you. It's conditional. It's conditional because even though it's only for the family of God, it's not for everybody in the family of God. You ask 100 people to quote Romans 8:28, 90% of them may leave off the first verse, and that many also will leave off the last phrase. They'll say, oh, all things are working together for good. But look, it's conditional. To those who love the Lord, who love God, and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 is a family secret that's conditional. It's not for everybody, even everybody in the family of God. It's for those of us who are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 doesn't apply to everybody. Some people think it says all things work together for good for all people. No. Didn't work together for good for Achan, didn't work in Joshua 7, didn't work together for good for Ananias and Sapphira, who weren't in the purpose and the will of God for their lives in Acts 11. It's to those who love Him and are called to His purpose, who love Him with this sacrificial love that seeks only the other's highest good, who long to see Him praised. Love is something we do. Jesus said, if you love Me, what will you do? You will keep My commandments. It's not just words. And are called according to His purpose. Tell Paul in a Philippian jail at midnight, Paul, we know that all things are working together for good. And see Paul, who is called to His purpose. That's why he's there, who loves the Lord. And see how that takes place. Tell him on his second missionary journey when he's over there in Acts 16, when he's trying to, before he got to Philippi, how he was put his hand on the door at Bithynia and God wouldn't let him go in, and Troas, and he was kept moving. And then he got the Macedonian call. And God worked all those things together for good to those who love Him and are called to His purpose, to His will. It's conditional. We have a family secret. If you're a Christian, put your faith and trust in Christ today, you have a family secret. We know that all these things are working together for good. If you're not a believer here today, there's another side to the coin. And that is this. Even good things can work together for your detriment if you don't know Christ. You say, what do I mean? I mean good things, like this message of hope, like the message of the gospel that Jesus loves you, that He was died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried in the grave, and he rose the third day, the living, triumphant Lord and Savior, and he sends the Holy Spirit here today to convict of sin and convince of righteousness and the love of Christ to constrain you and draw you to Jesus. Even good things like the message of the gospel can work to your detriment if you're lost. Because Paul said, every time you hear the gospel and you reject it, your heart, he said, gets a little harder. Harden not your heart, he said. And the Greek word he used is the same word we get for our word callous. I have a callous on my hand right there. I could take a pen right now and stick it into that and not even feel it. Wasn't always like that. But Paul said, every time you hear the gospel and you neglect it. That's why in Hebrews, the writer said, how shall we escape if we neglect, not just reject, neglect so great salvation? That callous on your heart gets just a little harder. And then someone shares Christ with you somewhere else, and you walk away, and that callous keeps getting a little bit harder. And somebody invites you to church, and you come to church, and you hear the gospel of Christ, and you neglect it, and that callous gets a little harder. And it becomes such that it's no longer that he's no longer calling you. It's that you can no longer feel it. It's like a callous. You can't hear it. That's why if anybody here today can still hear the voice of Christ calling in your heart, this message is for you. It's the voice of God reaching out to you. Some people only look at the present, only look in the confines of the moment. But Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called to his purpose. Perhaps the real need of somebody here today is not to know the family secret, but it's to be born into the family, to get into the family, so you can begin to apply the family secret. Because you've never been what Jesus called born again into his family. Passed from death unto life, from darkness into light, and come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What is his purpose for you this morning? Because the family secret is to those who are called to his purpose, his will. What is his purpose? Is his purpose bringing you here today so you could come to know Christ as your Savior? So you could, like I did as a 17-year-old young man, walk down an aisle like this and take a pastor by the hand and say, I want to open my heart to Christ. I want Christ to come into my life. And I want to transfer my trust, my own human efforts, to Christ alone for my salvation and receive the free gift of eternal life, even Christ my Lord. Is that his purpose for you? If it is, then let his purpose be done in your life today. It's for those who are called to his purpose. Maybe his purpose for some of you who put your faith and trust in Christ is to make a public pledge of your life to Christ. Is that his purpose? He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He said, confess me before men. I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And his purpose for some of you may be to come and make a public pledge of your life to Christ. And if you do, the Lord Jesus will turn to God the Father. And with his very lips, form the syllables of your name and speak your name to the Father. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. What's his purpose for you? Maybe you're a Christian, not active in a local church. Maybe his purpose is for you to be a part of his local family, this congregation right here. You've been coming here, eating your spiritual food here. Come out of the shadows today. Be a part of his local expression of his body, his family, the church. And you'll serve as an escort for those who need to be saved. Maybe somebody here today say, preacher, I don't know what I need. I know I need something. No. The something you need is someone. He wants you in his family. His sweet name is the Lord Jesus. We know that all these things are working together right now for good to you who love him and are called to his purpose. Come into his purpose today. While we stand to our feet right now with our heads bowed, while we sing this hymn of invitation, the ministers are here at this aisle. Whatever God's purpose in your life today, and you'll know it, he's calling. Don't turn him away. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As we sing, and as God's Spirit speaks, you come right now to Christ and his church.